Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome in. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid, the daily edition, the daily dose, if you will, of Bogman and the Welsh. Appreciate the Sports Grid having us bring you guys more content. We continuously have things on a day-to-day basis. Bogman, we've always talked about what ITL would be like, you know, Monday through Friday. And we're getting to have a little little bit of an experiment time. A little bit of experiment.
This is it. Yeah. This is what it looks like, everyone. I hope you're all having fun.
For better or worse. This is what it looks like. So, just the other night, I was trying to... One thing I don't know if you've had... if you've had the trouble with in this time where, like, we're all home and we've got... I don't want to say, like, everyone's got, like, more time on their hands, but, you know, you don't even have the option. Like, I used to be dealt this thing where, you know, I'd be home and I'd be like, well, I can't really get into this because I know we got to, you know, got to get the kids out, got to do this with the family. You can't do anything anymore. Arizona actually just yesterday set the lockdown, you know, the stay-at-home and act at 5 p.m. So you're just inherently home more with more stuff in front of you. But here's where I'm going. I've had this problem. I have all of this extra time, yet I'm still not diving into new things. I'm not jumping into new series. I haven't started new projects. I haven't had anything that it's been like, man, I've been really wanting to dive into this lately. Even though I'm home more, I just spend more time battling myself. It's like the version of trying to find something on Netflix. I just do that with my normal day life, trying to figure out what to do. But ESPN dropped a nugget to us where I think I will let some things stop. I shouldn't say wholly and completely because I did absolutely consume Tiger King and I'm almost done with Ozarks. ESPN has officially moved up the Jordan's The Last Dance 10-part documentary series from, I believe it was going to be in July, to April 19th, Bogman. This is no April Fools.
No April Fools. This is a for real thing that's happening, of course, and I'm excited about this. I'm excited to see all of the crazy people that they interviewed just to talk about Jordan.
Now, do you know what's all going to take place in this?
No. So when I saw this was coming out, I knew people were going to do a deep dive on it and stuff and say, oh, you know, try to get ahead and figure out what's going to be on it. I've never really liked that for documentaries. I kind of like to go in somewhat blind. Like, I like to know the premise, of course.
Well, I've got the premise right here.
I'd never just fire up like McMillions, you know, without watching it. I'd have to know what it's about. And I know it's about the McDonald's Monopoly game, right? Tiger King is about this crazy dude in Oklahoma that owns all the Tigers and stuff. Like, this, I know it's about Jordan, and I know they had like unfettered access to his life for an extended period of time. I don't know if it was just one season. I don't know if it was over the entire course of his career or whatever.
Well, here, I'll give it to you. It is.
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
It is the 10-part series that is focused on the footage from the final Jordan Bulls championship run from 1997 to 1998. So the full series is going to be on that final championship run. Because my initial reaction to hearing about the Jordan documentary is I want all the things that Jordan probably wouldn't want in the documentary. I want to hear I want him to confront the conspiracy that he was suspended from the NBA for gambling. So instead of suspending, he quit and played baseball. I want to know all the crazy gambling stuff.
Was it food poisoning against Utah or was it the flu? Like a lot of people say that he was poisoned. Yeah. That's one of like the big NBA conspiracy theories.
By the way, no one's going to be playing with the flu anymore. I think the days are gone with a player playing with the flu on the court. That might be the last dance would be the last flu game ever.
The last flu game. Well, remember that I don't know if do you remember when Paul Pierce was like carted off of the court and all that stuff?
Yeah, didn't they like bring him back out on like a wheelchair?
Yeah. Did you hear why that all that actually happened?
Yeah, didn't he poop his pants?
He did, yes, yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Pooped his pants, and then they wheeled him out 100. But see, like, Jordan to me, Jordan is, he's mythical. And not just because he's, you know, the iconic image of Nike, you know, or, you know, maybe one of the most famous athletes of all time. It's not even just that. It's if you were to take a top five. This would be, you know, we're all into brackets and rankings and stuff right now. Take a top five in all of sports and give me the most, like, mysterious, mythical athletes. And what I mean is, like, you know, there's controversy surrounding them, things we don't understand. Like, I think Irvin Johnson might fall into that with everything he went with the HIV scare and then recovering and playing basketball. And he was like a player coach. And, you know, to me, there's mystery surrounded with him. I'm trying to think of, like, what other athletes might have. Can you think of any other athletes that have that, like, mystery and controversy? Like,
yeah, I mean, not guys that are like so much mystical or have mystery surrounding them, but guys we just didn't have crazy access to, like Joe Montana. Joe Montana really played in the era of the NFL when NFL films wasn't going back, you know, into the locker room every single game and getting that crazy access. You know what I mean? He was in the era before Hard Knocks and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's not exactly what you're right. That is, I think that's a tier of intrigue, but that's not what I'm talking about. Like, I'm talking about these players and it kind of has to be players, not in the last 10 years in the kind of social media era, but it's players that just, they had stuff attached to them, you know, cause we've had gambling stuff and I like baseball has multiple. I would say, you know,
how Ty Cobb was a racist. Is that kind of what we're
maybe
talking about?
Maybe McGuire, David Ortiz, right. Yeah, and the steroid, Albert Pujols, players that, you know, maybe were able to curb major issues that have gone on, whether it was the steroid era, you know, Barry Bonds. I think Barry Bonds would be one of those because Barry Bonds, you know, just doesn't speak on any of the issues. He was so secretive about it. I'd say Michael Jordan, probably not ironic that, you know, Michael Jordan, I think, tops the list because he was, you know, embroiled in gambling issues. And there's obviously, like I said, the baseball conspiracy. And, you know, there's a lot of intense stuff that kind of followed him. Doesn't mean he wasn't accessible, but he had all this mystery, yet he was never really accountable necessarily for all of it. And he's seen as one of the greatest of all time. So Michael Jordan's at the top of the list. Irvin Johnson, I think, is on that list. I think you've got to put Barry Bonds on that list. And there's probably some other sports. You know, someone that jumped in my mind was Jeremy Roenick, but I'm not sure he quite qualifies because Jeremy Roenick is quite a, maybe it's a little bit more untold, but a gambling, he has a big gambling thing. Maybe I'm attaching a lot to this to gambling, but I'm super intrigued by these athletes that have all of this stuff and this mystery surrounded by them that we still don't have answers to. And Jordan's at the top of the list.
Yeah, I mean, and there's tons of those guys, and it's, they're becoming harder and harder to come by anymore, right? Like, because the media just has unbelievable access to them at this point. I mean, you know, it's hard to think of really from like 2000 to 2020, we pretty much know all those guys in the league. Like, there's the shady stuff, like you mentioned, and there is the stuff behind closed doors, like what actually happened between Roger Clemens and his trainer and all that stuff.
Yeah, Clemens is probably another one of those because I don't feel like we ever got, like, all the answers.
We never got a straight answer, ever. Yeah. That dude is shady as you know what.
Were there ever any players that were implicated in any of the – remember the – I can't remember the dude's name, so I'm saying do you remember the referee that was implicated in the cheating
scandal?
Tim Donaghy. Tim Donaghy, yeah. Were there
he
ever,
wrote a book, though.
But like, were there ever any players that were implicated in there?
No, there weren't players. I think it was, to be honest, I think it was really just him as far as NBA refs go, because there have been NBA refs that have been around for so long. I kind of question the NBA, like, what are you doing? Like, after Tim Donaghy was a, you know, Donaghy, I can't remember. I might be getting, because I know he had the same last name as the guy from 30 Rock that Alec Baldwin played. So I can't remember if it's Donaghy or Donaghy. But anyway, I kind of questioned the NBA. I was like, after this happened with one of your, you know, head refs, he was a crew leader and all that stuff. You really have to dive into the background of all these refs from now on. And they're not paying him enough to kind of be under that scrutiny either. So there's definitely some weirdness. So I get what you're saying. It's guys that you just kind of want to know their story a
There's
little
just
bit
not,
more.
Well, yeah, I mean, kind of. It's just more like Jordan had so much, and maybe I'm probably projecting.
No one is as big as Jordan.
Well, like, I understand Jordan there's no one big, but he also, not only was he the biggest athlete, he has more of these questions surrounding him, I think, than anybody else. Because, like the baseball guys we talk about, there's a difference there. It's kind of out in the open. Like, I'd love to know the inner workings of it, but you know the stuff. You don't know with Jordan. Like I said, the conspiracies that are so heavy with it. So I'm probably creating a little bit more from what I want a Jordan documentary to look like. I don't want it, or it doesn't need to be a conspiracy document. We don't need it. We got enough of that going on right now in the conspiracy world. But I'm saying, like, I would like, whether it was Jordan facing that or other people, you know, that were around it, to talk about things that people have speculated on for so long, and we just don't have those answers of the poker games that Jordan was doing, the money that was out there, the crazy gambling, you know, all of that stuff. Maybe Pete Rose is another one of those, but again, his business is even more out there. There's not necessarily questions we have are more like, we just want the answers. We have questions with Jordan.
I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but wasn't Jordan abducted by aliens in Snowflake, Arizona at some point as well, right?
Oh, he was a part of the, what was the movie?
Fire in the Sky.
Fire in the Sky. Is that the other conspiracy that he was with?
No, I was just thinking conspiracy theories, and because you usually don't, you know, you and me, we think of sports conspiracy theories, of course, but when you hear that, I think everyone's first thought is like X-Files episodes, you know what I mean? It's just a funny saying, the conspiracy theories. Now, obviously, it has way more of a negative connotation than ever. But yeah, you're right, man. Like, Jordan is, you know, I think still the most recognizable sports person in the world, because he really is, you know, he's the Nike logo. So
yeah, but you know, we want to know something. He might be in the younger. I hate to do it, but I'm going to do it.
You're right.
No, the younger generation knows him more of the stupid meme. You know, the crying Jordan.
The crying Jordan.
It might be more iconic to a younger generation than the Nike logo. I don't think everybody like it used to in the 90s. Like when you saw the Nike, you know, the dunk, you didn't just immediately go to Jordan, or you did before. I don't think it happens as much anymore. And that ridiculous meme is probably, you know, surpassed him. That I actually wouldn't be too shocked. You know, I don't know his involvement in it, but this would be an opportunity potentially for Jordan to kind of reestablish to a younger generation, you know, that, I don't know, like 20-year-olds and maybe, you know, 25-year-olds don't really have a good comprehension of, like, you know, what Jordan was in their time. Like the best thing they have, or the closest thing they have, is LeBron James to that. But Jordan was another animal, you know, like he was vicious. There was nobody that remotely came close. Where I don't think that's the case with Kobe
and
Bryant.
He can't get away from LeBron. Like, you know, he's a complete opposite of Michael Jordan.
Well, there's
LeBron.
No mystery. There's no mystery in players anymore.
I mean,
because
he's
of social
TikTok
media
doing dances, you know, well, what I mean? And also there's something to be said for LeBron too, the Welsh, because he is like the most clean cut superstar athlete that has ever existed. You know what I mean?
Oh, you mean like what? Like keeping his stuff solid?
Well,
he's
married to his high school sweetheart. He never had, you know, no one ever accused him of cheating or anything like that. He's never obviously had any domestic stuff at all.
Worst thing he ever did was try to copyright Taco Tuesday.
Yeah, that and saying that I won't play without fans. Like, those are the China comments. The China comments are probably the most controversial things that LeBron has ever done. And that was at the beginning of this year. And it's still, it has, you know, it doesn't hold a candle to one weird betting story from Michael Jordan. You know what I mean? And there's video of Michael Jordan, like, talking at the foul line, like saying, like, hey, I'll give you a $500,000 if I miss this free throw to a rookie, you know, stuff like that. Like, you can see him saying that stuff. LeBron is never going to be that guy.
Well, I mean, that was the whole deal. It's these guys were, and this is obvious. Some of this is blatantly obvious, of course, but it's like these guys weren't as accessible. There was way more mystery surrounding them. But a lot of, a lot of that mystery has kind of been unveiled. Like Dennis Rodman would have been one of those, you know, in the 90s, we'd all be like, man, we want to even know more, you know, tell us more about the Madonna stuff and all that. But it's just like it's been out there. The guy just pops up in all these different places and, you know, the mystery is
Jordan
kind of
had a
gone.
Thing with Madonna? Why didn't I know that?
Yeah, he was. Well, I mean, I don't know how much he dated, but, you know, they were. Oh, did you see Madonna in that video she did?
Oh, my God.
It is the it is embarrassing. It's the worst thing. Boy, Ed, we don't get on that. I don't know. I don't think she thinks a whole lot anymore. I think she just does. Man. I think that's all that it is. But that's probably why her and Dennis Rodman kind of had got together. You want to know something that's crazy? Dennis Rodman is the more clear, like clear-headed person in 2020 between
Rodman,
Madonna
dude,
and her him.
I thought you were saying Michael Jordan and Madonna.
No, Dennis Rodman.
Well, that's why I was like, I didn't hear about this.
No, well,
yeah,
I mean,
Rodman
there's again
way more. I feel like I even remember it.
Again,
so.
There's more there, but there's still some of that mystery that's out there with Jordan. I guess he just epitomizes it. And obviously, we could pick anybody from like 2000 down, and we could kind of, you know, create mystery because they weren't accessible. And, you know, no athlete, unless they choose to completely be devoid of this stuff, like Kawhi Leonard. I think Kawhi Leonard actually has a decent amount of anonymity, but he's not the greatest at his sport. And the level of the competition is a lot different, where football was just different. You know, had Montana, you know, been a bigger personality and had, you know, maybe some accusations thrown his way, he would fall into the lines of this. But Jordan was unparalleled as far as
I feel like in you maybe I'm wrong about this, but up until like recently, and then unfortunately because of his passing, I feel like Kobe Bryant was like maybe
the closest. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, the closest to Jordan. So
yeah, no, I you know what, I 100% agree with that. I was thinking about that, didn't bring it up. It's a really, really good point. Probably the closest. It's just Jordan didn't have a multitude of competition at his level. He also had wild conspiracies attached to him. Whether the conspiracies meant anything or not, there were some real stuff. You know, the gambling stuff was a real thing. And, you know, whether the whole stupid baseball and leaving was real or not, you know, there were definitely some, you know, probably closed door meetings with the NBA and David Stern and with what Jordan had going on. So he's just at the top of the list. So when I see the documentary, The Last Dance, is just about that final championship, I'm like, okay. Like, you know, everyone was making this big deal, and it's like, if I was a Bulls fan or, you know, anyone that loved basketball in the 90s is going to appreciate this and want to look back because of Kerr, and Rodman obviously was there, and there's and Phil Jackson. There's a lot to love, but it lacks, I guess, a little bit of what I'm looking for. That's all.
Yeah. And when we come back, I got to ask you if you'd rather interview Jordan or Carole Baskin.
Oh, so. No. Did I send you that one meme last night?
No. Send it to me right now.
All right. I'm going to send it to you right now as we're going to go to break. So don't you go anywhere. Hey, I'll send it to you. I'll just give everybody my number and I'll send everybody this meme. I'm going to send this one to you right now and you can react on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. In this league, coming back.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
It's in this league.
It's got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they use to make...
In this league.
I'm the smartest guy in the world? Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Sports Grid. Bogman and the Welsh. It is a brand new month. Only thing, I guess, if I were to have one bright side of anything, it's a little bit less on the April Fools with everything going on, because not a big fan of all the stupid, ridiculous April Fools stuff that
I've
happens.
Never been a fan of April Fools.
No.
Like,
no, it's never
April
been
Fools is a non-funny person's day to try to be funny.
Yeah.
That's what April Fools
rarely
is.
Can you get across anything that really works. So we're not running any of those, but it is a brand new month. And we would tell you guys, if there was ever a time, I'd obviously know with everything going on, you could also say if there was ever a time not to do anything, justified right now. But if there was a time to jump in over at the ITL Army for us, our Patreon, it's right now. It's a brand new month ahead of you. Bogdan and I have been dropping streams and secret shows. We've got a whole bunch more and maybe even some brand new content, prospect lists. Our baseball lists are still going out. Bogman's got some football stuff that's planned. $5 is going to get you a long way. $5 over on our Patreon. You can go to inthisleague.com and it will just swing you on over to patreon.com/ITL Army. Come check us out and you get a full month ahead of you. So bang for your buck. We would deeply appreciate it as we are an independent podcast. We run everything through our Patreon. So as that goes, so do we. Not too exciting when that goes. So feel free to come over. How much did now explain the meme that but use the words that you can
right.
use.
Right. Right. So it is Joe Exotic on Wheel of Fortune. And the answer to this question is something that he calls Carol Baskin
that
a lot.
Blank.
Yes. Carol Baskin.
But there's letters missing, like the A in that, the C in the blank. C.
Season A's are the only ones. That
season
are
A's are gone. Yeah. So it says that blank Carol Baskin and he's standing up at the top and he goes,
I'd like to solve the puzzle.
And the comment of what the phrase means is the root of all evil. That's the guess for what the word is. I saw it yesterday and it made me so happy. The Joe Exotic stuff, you know, I'll be honest with you. I'll bet you, when this is all over, I enjoyed Tiger King more than I'll enjoy The Last Dance by Jordan. I know,
really?
I think sports fans will hate hearing that, but you know, like I like The Inside, but do I need 10 parts? Do I need a 10 part series to tell me about the final season of Jordan? Like, is that going to be that good? Like I said, I know what I want.
I think it's going to be good because we just never had that with Jordan. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, okay, that's a good point.
If they come out with, you know, whatever the last season LeBron plays is, like a big special and behind the scenes and stuff and unfettered access and all that, I'll be like, yeah, I mean, we pretty much had all that, though. Like,
yeah, I don't really
Twitter
need
was around and,
with them.
You know, this is really the age before social media. So it wasn't like, you know, Jordan was not trending on Twitter during his career because his career ended before Twitter started. So, you know, I think he might have been. Was he still playing like right when Facebook got the jump?
Yeah,
probably
I think
not,
Facebook
right?
was. I think Facebook was out there, but he had kind of, you know, his play had kind of died down. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Like he wasn't remotely close to the same. It's kind of how a lot of basketball goes. It's kind of similar to, you know, the last couple of years of Kobe. You know, Kobe was
right.
You know, he was still productive and could still drop some serious point games, but he just wasn't quite the same player. I mean, you know, Kobe's issue was a little bit more efficiency. You know, he wasn't quite the same
right.
athlete. You know, ball was turning over a lot more. Efficiency struggled. Jordan, you know, his body changed a whole lot. And this was a guy who, you know, Jordan had to change from the super athlete to become a perimeter shooter. You know, not that he didn't have that game, but he had to become like a primary perimeter shooter. So his game really adjusted later in his career. And the Wizards stuff was just, it was just a shell. It was, to me, it was kind of like when Jerry Rice was a Raider. You know what I mean? Or
right,
the Bronco.
Right.
It was just like, okay, you know. There's a little bit. I mean, it was obviously Jerry's was worse, but Jerry was also like 40 years old when he was doing that. So, yeah.
I have a question for you. Like, we talked about who would you like to see, you know, a ton of access to as far as, you know, an athlete that has some mystery around them. What about ones that seem squeaky clean? Would you rather have, like, someone follow around Tim Tebow for, you know, a month straight with a camera just to see if he slips
no.
up and is secretly a monster or something?
No. I mean, I would be interested if there was a presumed squeaky clean that they then present to me. Like, hey, we found some stuff. I'll tell you right now, Tebow's not the one.
I just thought of the squeakiest, cleanest one I could think of.
It just depends.
You know I mean?
If you're telling me they follow around Tebow and what they present to me is the stuff they found, I presume it would be good. But if it's just like, hey, follow them around and see if they find something, absolutely not with Tebow. He is the least of the least.
It would be so boring. It'd be like, yeah, I don't know. We tried to catch him in some stuff, but instead all he did was, save a lady from a seizure by touching her.
Yeah, you know, as a guy. I mean? A guy fainted and had a seizure at a baseball game. He went over and touched him, and then he, you know, resurrected. It was ridiculous. But, you know, like, you know who a prime example would be? This would be a documentary I'd love to watch. Would be Marvin Harrison. Marvin Harrison seemed the squeaky, like, I shouldn't say the squeakiest clean, but he was just this quiet,
why are you
amazing,
taking my hat, Mom?
Yeah, he was this really amazing receiver, him and Peyton. You know, you never really heard from Marvin. He just did his job. All you would see are stats left and right about the connection between the two. And then Marvin kind of like, you know, retired. And then all of a sudden you get this like, he shot somebody. And then there's this video of this guy being chased by him. And all of a sudden you're like, holy crap, Marvin Harrison is a monster. He was like Omar from the block, he became. And he seemed like someone that was completely quiet. So if you were to say, if I could get that, if you could go and find an athlete that it's like, man, they're really quiet, and then all of a sudden you see some business, even if they were just dicks, you know, like a Kawhi Leonard, you know, he is super quiet, no personality. If they had something and they were just like, yeah, see how he, you know, see how he is when he's off the court, I'd be like, okay, I'm interested. But I'm looking for the intrigue. You know, I mean, another one.
Is there anyone like playing right now that you're like, man, I would really like to see someone follow this guy's crazy story? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if someone was following around making an entire documentary on like Yasiel Puig, you know, while I'm not the biggest Puig fan, I think that would be super interesting when his career is done to go back and look at.
Yeah, Puig would be interesting. I'm trying to think of...
And I feel like a lot of guys are probably doing this bit right now where they have someone following them. I know, you know, obviously the dude went nuts, but Antonio Brown had people following him for a long time. So... you know, and they clearly have been documenting his downfall at this point too. So, I think a lot of guys are doing this. So I think we're almost going to have
it's overload
too much of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be overkill.
You know what I want? I'll tell you
why. The guys of this age are done.
There's one I would want. But I don't want it. I don't want this person to be involved in it. I want there to be a secondary crew. I want one on Floyd Mayweather. I want someone behind the scenes following the chaos of Floyd Mayweather.
Oh, man. I like that one is dicey. You know?
Well,
I mean?
Okay. There's one obvious thing that, you know, well, scumbaggery yeah. that I don't need to see video of that. But this is a guy that, you know, I mean, he'll go and gamble millions and millions of dollars on random stuff. I mean, I don't want to get
Every
into the
I
whole like can't read
bad.
Stuff, but like remember the radio thing where it's just like this guy's yeah. life is built around this one thing, and he also absolutely just throws the money out the door left and right on. I mean, he gambles and then he just does his thing, and then he's ready for a fight and he collects all the money. Like I would want a non Floyd, you know, I don't want his hands involved in it. Look, so we could see what type of good or bad guy this guy. I'm not going to presume, allegedly.
Right, right.
Whatever he is, that would be one. Like, I would be more excited about that than I would the last year of Jordan playing basketball.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and Mayweather would be a fun follow for all the stuff that you just said. Just the fact that he goes out and spends the money that he makes. And not all of it is smartly, of course. I don't think he's a very smart guy. But he also had a rough upbringing. So you could get into that as well.
Like the old Tyson
so
documentary. Remember that Tyson? They've done a couple Tyson ones.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It'd be books. Just like that. I just like every time I kind of feel bad for Floyd Mayweather, he has some jackassery that he does. And I'm like, yeah, no, I don't feel bad for that guy at all. And he can't read. So
I just my favorite thing ever is that baseball thing. The radio thing where he was trying to read the spots.
Show your stripes.
It's
movement.
It's too much. It's too much for me.
Everyone's like, no, Floyd, just read it like a person. And for whatever reason, he may just be dyslexic. He may have a learning disability or something. I don't know what it was, but he could not read this script. And it's on YouTube if you guys want to go find it. So it's funny at first, and then it starts to get sad.
Yeah,
so,
well, I think that's everything with Floyd. It's entertaining at first, and then it's then it turns to, you know, the...
You know what? That's what they'll name that documentary is. This was fun, and then it turned out sad.
Starts fun, ends bad.
Right.
Yeah, the Floyd Mayweather story. So that would be one.
Like
so,
a date with me. So.
April 19th. That's what everyone can be on the lookout for. The Last Dance, a Michael Jordan documentary. You know, one of the changes that has happened with, you know, the stay-at-home issues that we've been dealing with in the COVID stuff, where movie theaters are gone and are, you know, gone-ish and shut down. And, you know, them being able to, whether it's capitalizing or them realizing this is just going to be a good, you know, a good break for everybody. And also, I mean, maybe at the same time, you wouldn't want a documentary about like Floyd Mayweather while everyone's stuck at home. You know what I mean? I mean,
right,
I say
right.
that though, and Tiger King is, you know, one of the most, you know, popular things and popular documentaries since, the Wisconsin murder one, which Making a Murderer. And Tiger King might surpass it. The only standing power that Making a Murderer has is it's still going. They did another series and there's always updates. So there have been a couple updates. I don't even want to mention them just because if people haven't watched the documentary yet on Tiger King, you want to get into it. But there's been some stuff updates. That's been opened back up.
Bubba and I were talking about the did you see the picture of her, Carol Baskin, the husband, during their wedding? He was like on a leash.
Oh, yeah. That was in the documentary.
Was it in the documentary?
Yeah.
I don't remember it.
Yeah, it was just like a flash of a picture. It was in the documentary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what I was talking about. Like, they found it. Like, it was hanging on the wall, and some, you know, internet sleuther saw it and then blew it up. And
I think they actually showed the full picture in the document because I remembered
really?
That. Yeah, I remember that because they
that
were talking about
it. Might have been a pee break for me then. Something.
Yeah. Well, you watch a lot of stuff like in the background though.
That's true.
That might have been it because it was only a quick second that they showed that. Yeah.
This
because
was tough to watch in the background though, man. I was like trying to do stuff and then watch that, and I found myself staring at the TV more than I usually do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's one of those things.
I mean, in a documentary, you don't have to watch every single little detail either. So,
I mean, I'm the exact opposite. Like, I don't see that. That's like, if I just want like some comfort behind, I just put something on I've seen before. I literally can never put anything that I'm invested in just behind, like while I'm doing stuff. Like, I'm full commitment. I'm full commitment on a show because then I'm just not like into it that much. And
yeah, well, I think I've just been working from home for so long at this point that it's just like, the TV is in the background. You know what I mean? Like, I'm kind of focused on my computer most of the time to do whatever work I'm doing. And then the TV is the background. And if something like, you know, it has to be really good to pull me away from whatever I'm working on.
I'll tell you one thing they could do a little documentary on is our boy Baseball Pods has a baseball bracket podcast tournament thing going on. I've said to people, like, we're in it. We've got a couple shows that are in it and a lot of our friends because it's only baseball podcasts, a 64 bracket tournament. And I've seen people doing like petition videos. Actually, the guy, the Enrico Palazzo podcast, that one of the shows you and I do with Joe Pizzapia, the Black Book, they faced us in the first round and he did like a video, a halftime Al Pacino, any given Sunday type speech to try to rally the troops. It didn't help. We won handily over that podcast, but there's a lot of our friends that are involved in different podcasts on it. And it's friendly now, but it definitely has the potential. No. I just think it has the potential to like, there's going to be a lot of petitioning going on. So if people haven't followed it, go follow our boy, Baseball Pods. It's just that's the Twitter handle. There's four divisions, the Trout Division, the Acuna Region, or they're all regions, the Trout Region, Acuna Region, Yelich Region, and Bellinger Region. The Trout Region was on Monday. Two shows I'm involved in were in the first round. The Black Book, which we defeated the Enrico Palazzo Division. And I don't know if you know this, Boggs, my show, Prospect One, my prospect show, was a 9 seed. Against 8 seed, the show called Exit Velocity. My prospect one won pretty steadily. About 500 people voted and won 60-something%. And I was my show was the only show to upset in that bracket. I was the only upset to win. I was the 9-1. We were a 4 seed for the Black Book and we won. So prospect one was the only unfavored seed to move on, and it's going up against RotoWire Baseball. But on Tuesday, as we are finishing up the recording of this, the Acuna bracket is going on, and our boys, Paul Spohr, Sleeper and the Bust, are going today. And let's see where these are at if you want to see some votes here. So Let's see. Rates and Barrels is a four seed against a show called No Crying in Baseball. And Rates and Barrels is moving on. 81% right now. Yeah, RotoWire Prospects, which is my boy James Anderson and Clay Link. They're going up against Lenny Melnick, and they are moving on. 77% right now. Let's see. I don't know these people.
Draft Champagne and Juice Balls. Juice Balls is winning. That's a 9-8 seed.
Oh, okay.
Sleeper in the Bust versus Baseball 365. Look at they're up big.
And here's what I want to point out. Who's Baseball 365?
I'm not 100% sure.
That might be my boy. Ray Butler, because it's Prospects 365. That might be Baseball.
Justin Hughes and Andrew McQuiston.
Okay, never mind. I don't know who that is. But you know what you can see here, which is, I think, really interesting? I think Baseball 365 has tallied some of their buddies in here. There's almost 900 votes on this one. Wow, and here's why I want to point this out. That is more than double anybody else. And why do I think they've got a rub going on? Because if there are 900 votes and Sleeper in the Bus is only at 62%, they're working hard to try to make that 16-1 upset. There ain't no way Sleeper on the Bus ain't winning that one. They're absolutely going to move on. Here, let's actually talk a tiny bit more about the bracket when we come back. Don't go anywhere. More in this league.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are doing
it. Welcome back. It is In This League right here on Sports Grid. An hour of entertainment from your boys. 5 days a week plus 3 hours on the weekend. Don't miss any of it. Make sure you're subscribed to this podcast. Search any podcast platform. Go to In This League. Just type that in the podcast platform, and you'll find this show. You'll find all the other ones. They're pretty easy to identify. Unless, by the way, Google Podcasts rechange how they look. It is the worst. I don't know if you've looked, Bogman.
I saw our guy Rob in, I think, the Captain's Room or Club 37, one of them. He was like, Google Podcast new look. Ew.
Oh, it's the worst. I couldn't hate it more. So, and try something else, I suppose, if you want, or that doesn't matter. You can listen to all the shows, so a backlog, you can catch up as you will. So we're talking about, just real quick, baseball pods. They've got this bracket going on. It's been pretty fun, and obviously we're invested in it. I'm involved in three shows. Bogman is involved in two. The Tuesday bracket, the Acuna bracket, there's pretty, behind the curtain, we're recording as this is still finishing up. There's some pretty easy finished ones here. Razzball has got a huge lead over a show called Fantasy World Order, 78% with over 500 votes. You can obviously see, like I said, chicanery or anything like that, but Baseball 365 was putting in their best foot forward, probably with all their people, to really boost up the votes. But you don't double all of the votes of any other and Sleeper on the Bus not be at 80%. They're the one of one seeds involved in this. You've got, like I said, Razzball's moving forward. Let's see. I'll just vote on this one because I haven't seen this. There is a potential upset. There's two weird things going on here, Bogman. The show called Upper Deck, whatever that is beating Yahoo Fantasy Baseball right now, and there's over 700 votes. So this is another one of those.
Wow, really?
This is clearly another one of those situations where someone is getting all their people involved.
Their people. I don't blame them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're winning 55% to 44%. A 14 over a 3 seed looks like it's going to happen. And then the closest one, which I don't know which way it's going to fully go, our friends at the Nasty Cast are a 10 seed versus StatCast Podcast. I don't know what that is. Nasty Cast is winning by less than a percent, 50.6 to 49.4. And by the time people are listening to this, we'll see which way it goes. But Nasty Cast has a slight lead there. It's really, really close.
Let's go, Nate. Come on.
Some upsets. the Yelich division, as people are listening today, is what's going to go down. This is all the first round. People we know, pitcher list, SP streamer, Prospects 365. That's the show I was talking about. The Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast is a big division. Prospects Live, and the number one seed is ESPN Fantasy Focus. Ooh, that's going to be a tough one. And more important is on Thursday. We need all of you fools to be voting for In This League. Now, we have a first-round matchup against a show called Full Time Fantasy. And
that's a popular one.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty popular one. So that's not going to be easy at all. We're
no cakewalk for us, for sure.
And we're a 3 seed. I don't know why we got 3 seeded there. I mean, I love us, but I don't know about the 3 seed there. But
I don't know if we're really deserving of a 3 seed. Yeah. That's like, it's one of those like, oh, this 3 seed, this might be an easy bracket busted right here. So.
We'll see. Yeah, I would like all of our shows to at least move to the next round. So if you guys can vote for In This League on Thursday at Baseball Pods in the Bellinger division. And if we move on, we have a decent chance to play our buddy Bubba, Bench with Bubba, who is essentially, this is part of his, he'll be very involved in both shows. He is the 6 seed. And then next week, as things go on, you'll see the second round of all of these. Black Book and Prospect One have already moved forward. But I don't know, some cool stuff. Brackets are kind of finicky right now, but you know, everyone's getting like a little burnt out by brackets, but maybe we're close to home. I thought this was a fun one of Baseball Pods because it also, one of the best things about it is like letting people potentially find new shows that they might like. Hopefully they find us. Maybe they find our listeners, find some others that they want to add to their repertoire, you know, put in their podcast app. There's some cool stuff out there. So hopefully people are giving a listen and voting for our asses.
How about documentary bracket after this?
Ooh, I mean, Tiger King is going to move pretty far.
Tiger King Making a Murder, definitely 1 seeds. I don't know what would the other 1 seeds be. Like, I almost feel like, you know, it's a documentary podcast series, but I almost feel like I'd want to throw Serial in there.
Yeah, I think Serial might go in there. I think you might have to have there was that OJ one. That's going to probably
that's a good one.
That could run away with some stuff. I think if we sat down, you could rock out I don't know if Tiger King would be a 1 seed because it's so new. I actually think Tiger King might end up being something like a 3 seed. Making a Murder is definitely going to be a 1 seed simply because of the popularity it reigned in. And I think Serial would be a 1 seed too because of what it changed for podcasting. And then the others, I don't know. You probably have an OJ one.
The one about Robert Durst. God, I can't remember if that was Showtime or HBO or whatever.
I don't know that one.
But that one was incredible.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Documentary series. Ranks and brackets and mock drafts. Mock drafts you can still put out there. You know, I wanted to ask you, we've actually got, we might want to talk about this. Mel Kiper just dropped, I think within the last week, his most recent, I think McShay just did too over on ESPN, but it's behind their paywall, so you know, we don't need to go too far into that. This is like a little bit older to talk about. Mel Kiper just dropped a mock draft, which I think is just fantastic for people right now to consume because football plans to play all 16 games. They plan to have their draft, you know, moving forward. So
moving anything.
No.
Football has not stopped anything so far.
Yeah, they can pro days
and they're talking about OTAs right now, but everything else has stayed status quo.
And you can keep kind of focused on football at least, that, you know, all of the things are going to continue to happen. But Mel Kiper dropped the most recent mock draft, and I'm trying to see, where do the Steelers pick, Boggs?
Not in the first round.
Oh, do they not have a first round pick? Okay.
They traded for Minka.
Oh, yeah, duh. Because this is really interesting. I definitely want to talk about what's in this just for a couple minutes because my 49ers have 2 picks in the first round and I absolutely love, and it's my dream scenario of what Mel Kiper does. But there was a report out there from Ed Boucher, right?
Yeah.
Bobby Boucher, that said that the Pittsburgh Steelers are most definitely going to draft a running back out of this draft. And it's running back heavy. I wanted to know, because James Conner, I believe, is in a contract year, I wanted to know, who do you think and what do you think that investment looks like? Because this team is without a first-round pick, so immediately you start looking at the second round. There's going to be some crazy talent running backs in the second round, but is this report something where you're going to see, like, one of the like a DeAndre Swift or maybe not a Taylor or something like that, one of the big guys? Or are they just simply stating a fact that, yeah, they'll take one and this is more of a fourth round situation for your Steelers?
No, I think that second round pick easily could be a running back. So I, you know, they like Deontay Johnson, who they drafted last year. And I think it's more about the getting the quarterback back as far as Roethlisberger, because, you know, Duck Hodges was not great and Mason Rudolph was flat out terrible last year. So I think they believe in the wideouts. Maybe you want to add one, especially with this class being fairly deep.
Well, see, that's another one, because there's also a report that says the Steelers are not, a Steelers reporter is predicting that Juju is not going to get extended.
That's weird to me. Like, I don't, maybe he won't, and maybe they'll, you know, franchise him in a season or two when his contract is up. But I don't see them not extending Juju. He would have to have a really bad season.
But do you think
if
the Steelers committed like a second or third round pick on a wide receiver, would that be the major telling thing that Juju's gone to you?
It definitely could be. Okay. Yeah. I mean, especially if they moved up to take a wide receiver, you know what I mean? So maybe traded something for next year's draft to move up a little bit to get a wide receiver that they like a lot would probably be fairly telling. But I think the plan right now is to stick where they pick in the second round. I can't remember. I think it's 54, somewhere around there. And then see if one of those big three backs falls. And I really think the one that has the best chance is J.K. Dobbins. So
yeah, because Taylor and Swift are looking like first-round picks right now.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to go in the first round. Like, it's just...
You want to know what's really funny? Is Kuiper, let's see, because this is 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. So the 18th pick for the Miami Dolphins from the Pittsburgh Steelers, Kuiper has DeAndre Swift going to the Miami Dolphins with that Steeler pick to Miami. So that would be your first running back. But I don't believe he has any other. I'm just scanning through this real quick to confirm. I believe that's the only running back he has in the first round. So the top 30, whatever picks, there's one running back. You'd have to imagine Jonathan Taylor is one of the first picks in the second round if this is the case then, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Or
definitely.
Swift, whichever one.
Jonathan Taylor's going to be gone before the Steelers can have a chance to get him. So I think Dobbins is a possibility. After that, you know, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire was to fall, I think he would be obviously a great option. And then Cam Akers. After that,
I was about to ask you about Cam Akers, if where you are on him.
Yeah, yeah. Cam Akers to me is probably like fifth, right behind. They might like A.J. Dillon too. So there's a possibility that A.J. Dillon could be their guy, because he's that, like, he's your classic good defense back. You know what I mean? He is. The comparisons that he's been drawing is Derrick Henry. I don't think he's nearly as good as Derrick Henry, but it also took a while for Tennessee to figure out, let's give this dude 30 carries, because in the fourth quarter, they're all going to be gassed from trying to chase him down, and he's a giant, and he's going to run right through him. You know what I mean? So A.J. Dillon's that type of a back, and that's what he did at Boston College. And at Boston College, they were not throwing the ball very much at all. So, I mean, they had a decent offense. They could throw the ball if they had to. But A.J. Dillon, like, teams knew what was coming and they still couldn't stop.
But isn't A.J. Dillon a guy that they could get in maybe the third round?
They might, but he's got a lot of buzz off of the combine. So I think that an offensive team that's looking for a running back to be kind of a bell cow, they're definitely going to have A.J. Dillon on their radar. So I think when they pick in the second, if they don't take him there, I think there's a pretty good chance that he'll be gone by the time the Steelers pick in the third round. So
I guess that was my biggest thing, was you buy into this report. You buy in.
Absolutely.
That,
oh, I've been talking about this for a couple months because James Conner can't stay on the
field.
Yeah,
I know you've been doing that. I just didn't know if you thought they would make an early investment on a running back or not.
The very first draft rumor for 2020 that I heard about the Steelers was that they really, really, really like J.K. Dobbins. That was the very first draft rumor that I've heard about them. And it's really the only one outside of this now saying that they're definitely looking for a running back in the draft.
Steelers aren't a team, though, that like to move up, though.
No, but they moved up last year for Devin Bush. and they traded their first for Minkah Fitzpatrick last season. And I think the window with Roethlisberger is obviously closing. I mean, he missed all year last year with the, you know, the elbow injury. And he said that he feels he's throwing pain-free for the first time in years and years right now. So I think that, you know, they're definitely, like, his window could have opened up a little bit more. Instead of, like, two seasons, he might have three or four left. But you got to think that those last two are going to kind of be like, oof, it's about time to go, Ben. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the realistic opportunity is in the next 2 years to win a Super Bowl with Roethlisberger. After, and really after this year, you got to start thinking about replacing him permanently, because Rudolph and Duck Hodges are obviously not going to be.
And they
the
can
guys,
they can probably do that next year. The other position players, just of note, Kuiper has Burrow going to the Bengals, one overall. You've got Tua going to the Miami Dolphins. Justin Herbert right after that going to the Chargers. So, I mean, he's projecting three quarterbacks in the top, what is that, like six or seven picks. Going through next off.
Next one's yours.
Yeah, next one is mine. So the San Francisco 49ers acquired the 13th overall pick from the Colts. And this would be the move of moves that I would appreciate and really, really get excited about. The San Francisco 49ers, he has them taking Jerry Jeudy from Alabama, and that would be the first wide receiver off the board, according to this. And I know that's been adjusted by a lot of different people. You've seen Ruggs go number one. I think I've seen Lamb go one. But I would be through the roof if the 49ers at 13 got Jerry Jeudy. What do you think about the feasibility of this happening? And is Jeudy still a potential first wide receiver to take?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Jeudy and Lamb are 1A, 1B right now. So, and a lot more people have Lamb up there because he had an amazing combine and all that stuff. And he just, like, watching him, his effort level is just always there. He's a fun wide receiver to watch for sure. It's hard for me to say that because he's a Sooner. But Jerry Jeudy going to the Niners would be, I mean, especially at 13, would just be such a great get. And I know you had to trade DeForest Buckner to get it, but it would be such an amazing get. But I think, and I think Mel Kiper mentions this, I think if Kinlaw falls to them, they might feel obligated to replace Buckner.
I hope
but I think if you're replacing Buckner, you reach for the best player. So I think Jerry Jeudy is a very, very viable spot.
I really
CeeDee Lamb would be great too. I would be, for me, it'd be weird if they took Henry Ruggs, but I think Henry Ruggs might fit better than any of these other guys for the Niners too, because you need someone to take the top off the defense with pure speed, and that's what Ruggs is. And then you can work Kittle over the middle and Debo on some shorter routes and stuff like that. So I think Ruggs fits, but the Niners, I mean, you guys are set up so well for the next couple years that they really can't go wrong here. So if they took a defender here and then took a wide receiver at pick 31, I could see that being something.
Jeudy would be the excitement for me. We only have like 30 seconds now, but Broncos taking Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb, he has going to the Cowboys. I already mentioned DeAndre Swift, T. Higgins going to the Raiders, Justin Jefferson going to the Eagles, Denzel Mims to the Vikings. You've got Jordan Love going to the Patriots. You see a ton of wide receivers, and you see a lot of skill position players in there as well. Chase Claypool going to the Green Bay Packers, and that's what the offense looks like. You only got about 10 seconds, Boggs, but we got some football content coming on In This League this week.
Yep, I got Emory Hunt on the War Room this week.
There you go. Perfect time to check that out. More NFL stuff. Bogman getting the coverage on the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. Go subscribe, befriendos. That is it. That's our hour. We'll be back again tomorrow right here on the Sports Grid. It's In This League. Bogman and Welsh, we're out.
DailyRoto.com. Learn from the game's best DFS players. We don't just give you premier advice. We play every day. All major sports, all year round, we never stop. Industry-leading DFS tools and custom projections. And now, the DailyRoto.com Optimizer. In minutes, build an optimized lineup for cash games and tourneys. Learn from the game's best DFS players. Join DailyRoto.com.